You know fall is coming when you see the pumpkin rolls are starting to start in September on the 16th, and also there's forms in your mailboxes, so check your mailboxes. And also, choirs are going to be starting, and the senior choir on the 4th, and that's at 7:30, and the bell choir on the 11th at 6:15. And also, the books for the disaster, they're out in the gathering place, and also there's a 5K run that's going to be on the 28th, so anybody that wants to do that, we usually have it like a church team that runs, so you can join that. And also the Women's Fellowship are having a paint party, and that is November 2nd at 9 o'clock. So let Leslie and Jess know if you want to go. Okay, if everybody wants to stand for the call to worship. Okay, I didn't know if you were going to do this later. Okay, Marty has some announcements first.
Morning, it's good to see all of you here this morning. If you check your mailboxes, there's an invitation for all of you to come to Dan's birthday party. Our son's Dan's birthday party is this Saturday. You're invited to that. And if you don't have a mailbox, we have somewhere around here. Also, next Sunday is the presentation. There's two things that are happening next Sunday during the service. There's a presentation of the Bibles. For ones who are going into the children going up into their grades. And also, for the children, if you want to bring your backpacks next Sunday, beginning of school is next week, and we want to start off on a really good note. So if you have your backpacks, please bring them. We're going to have a presentation of blessing of the backpacks right after the children's story next Sunday.
I think most of you have known and heard about YWAM Youth with a Mission and what our church had done for them before. And now there's a Hispanic church in Lebanon who has opened up their doors. They built a new piece to that church that was never used. They are moving the women over to the missionaries over to that building, and the men will stay at the Jubilee building. But what they needed next was, hey, we have beds but no mattresses. So our church, I thank God for those who had bought a new mattress for those. And now the mattresses are all taken care of, but we have another need. At this building, there's no lights. So if anybody has a lamp that you don't use anymore and want to give that, you're welcome to bring them here to church, and I would have YWAM come and pick them up. So I feel our church is blessed by what you have done for them. Thank you.
Okay, for the call to worship. Grace unto you and peace from God, who was and who is to come.
And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of all rulers of the earth.
In love, Jesus Christ suffered death to free us from our sins. Okay, turn to your brown hymnals to 143, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Thank you.
May we come to our Lord in prayer. Holy God, you know all about me. You know how I feel when I'm happy or sad. You know what I say. When I'm kind or rude, you know what I do. When I'm good or bad, thank you, God, for knowing all about me and still loving me. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. As music filled the church auditorium, a colorblind artist, Lance Brown, stepped on stage. He stood in front of the large white canvas with his back to the congregation and dipped his brush into black paint. With smooth swipes, he completed a cross, stroke after stroke, with brushes in his hand. This visual storyteller created images of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. He covered the large patches of the canvas with black paint and added blue and white to finish, and now abstract painting in less than 6 minutes. He picked up the canvas, turned it upside down, and revealed a hidden image, a compassion-filled face, Jesus. Brown said he'd been reluctant when a friend suggested his speed painting during a church sermon. Yet he now travels internationally to lead people into worship as he paints and shares Christ with others. The Apostle Paul affirmed the value of the purpose of the gift of God to his people. Every member of his family is equipped to glorify the Lord and build each other up in love. Paul encourages us to identify and use our gifts for others and point to Jesus, serving diligently and cheerfully. God has given us spiritual gifts, talents, skills, and experiences to serve wholeheartedly behind the scenes or in front of. As we celebrate his creativity, he uses our uniqueness to spread the gospel and build us and other believers in love. Can the ushers come front? Okay, the offertory prayer. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name, and bring an offering and comes before him. O worship the Lord and the beauty of his holiness. Okay, the children may go to children's church, and the offertory hymn is the Brown Hymnal 570, Oh How He Loves You and Me.
The first song we're going to sing is an arrangement by Joel Rainey. My wife's going to pronounce that for me.
Agnes Day.
The next song we're going to sing is called Be Still. We sang this out with the mass choir at Mount Gretna. I did a little rearranging so we could do it for a duet. Written by the amazing Mary McDonald. Be still. Listen to the words. We always need God. God's always there for us.
Don't lean on that. It's going on. be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am with you. Be still and know that I will comfort you when you come to me.
Child, be still.
And know that I will give you rest.
I will give you rest. I am present in your pain.
And I will always will remain your comforter.
Thank you, Earl and Cindy and Barb, for that wonderful song of being still and know that God is God. It's a good message in our day and in our time. I want to bring your attention to our time of prayer. And in your bulletins, you'll see a list of names that we need to remember in prayer. And I want to add another prayer concern this morning. Received word here from Earlene Wagner that Earlene and Verna's sister, Mildred, died last night. So keep that family in prayer. Be Mildred. Also, I always like to look at the global mission update that the denomination sends each week. And this week, we need to pray for Haiti. And I'll read this prayer concern here. Pray for the leaders and members of the Church of the Brethren in Haiti as they wrap up their 7th annual conference. Participants are gathered under the theme of proclaiming to the world that Jesus is King of Kings, based on 1 Timothy 6:15. Pray for wisdom and discernment as they elect leaders and develop priorities for the coming year. And that is the Church of the Brethren in Haiti. Let's come before our God in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time of worship this morning, for the time when we need to be still before you. We thank you that you're God who is in control, and all we need to do is be still and know that you're God and that you are Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives, your work in the church. We lift up this morning, Lord, the Church of the Brethren in Haiti, as they elect leaders, as they develop priorities for the coming year. We pray that your hand would lead this church and protect this church. We also lift up this morning, Lord, the West Green Tree Church of the Brethren, as we are praying for this church this week. We thank you for the West Green Tree Church and for the witness that they have. We pray that you would guide their ministry, guide the pastors and the leaders as they lead that church. We pray for your divine protection upon this church as they minister to the people around their community. Lord, this morning we lift up the family of Mildred, Earlene, and Vern's sister. We pray for this family as they deal with this loss. Guide them, Lord, as they make preparations. We pray that your peace and comfort would be with the family. Lord, we lift up every name this morning that's on the prayer concern list. These are some of us, some of the names here are members of the church, some are friends. Lord, whatever the person is, whatever the need, we pray, Lord, that you would provide for them. Provide for them, Lord, in a way that will bring comfort and peace to the people. We pray, Lord, that whatever situation the ones that are facing this morning, help them to know, Lord, that all they need to do is be still and know that you are Lord. Lord, this morning we lift up our denomination, the Church of the Brethren, and we pray that you would continue to guide us as a denomination. We pray for the church here, for Myerstown Church of the Brethren, for the history of this church, for the witness that this church has had over the years. And we pray especially that you would guide us as a church as we minister, Lord, to the people who come into their doors and also for ones in our community. We pray that you would direct the leaders of the church, that we would look to you, including myself, that we would look to you for guidance and direction, and to know, Lord, that you have a plan, purpose for the church. We lift up our nation. We lift up our president and members of Congress. Lord, during this difficult time, help our leaders and our nation to know, Lord, that when we turn to you, Lord, that you will provide and that you would lead us as a nation. But, Lord, we need to be fully devoted to you. We pray for the overall church, the church that Jesus Christ is Lord of. We pray that we would be lights to the world, as Jesus says. As Jesus says, light cannot be hidden. It can only be seen. We pray that we, as your people, would set the example that you want us to set, to be the light of Jesus Christ to our families, to our co-workers, to the people that we see every day, that they would see Jesus in our walk. And now, Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds as we look into your holy word for the message, Lord, that you have through your word. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to our scripture text today. We're looking at the book of Hebrews. If you're not quite sure where that is, you just go to the very back of the Bible and just go back a few books of the Bible and you'll get to Hebrews right next to James. This morning, as we read over the scripture text, I want us to focus on what the writer says when he says the cloud of witnesses. Just ask yourself, am I part of the great cloud of witnesses? Reading from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 29, and I'll be reading through chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 11, 29 through chapter 12, verse 2. Hear the word of the Lord. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May God add a blessing of the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, which brings a knowledge of who you are. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been excluded from a talented group of people? It may have been the honor roll when you were in school. Were you ever excluded from the honor roll? Or maybe you are not chosen to be the one or two or three most likely to succeed. Or maybe you're the one in elementary school who was always picked last to be on the baseball team. When I was in first grade, we had a choir called the Cherub Choir. That's spelled C-H-E-R-U-B. We have one here in church. And in case you don't know, cherub means angel. It's actually an angel choir. But I didn't know that when I was in first grade. But I wanted to sing in this choir. And we had to have tryouts in order to get into this choir. And I tried out for the choir. And I got cut. Didn't make it because the music teacher said my voice was too husky. Well, later on, when I was in fifth and sixth grade, I actually made the choir, but I think they automatically took anybody who was interested. But, and to make things worse for me, when I was excluded from that cherub choir, I had to watch their performance one evening. And imagine what that was like for my young six-year-old life, to see my fellow students up there singing in this angel choir, only to know that I didn't make it because I had a husky voice. Now, if we are honest with ourselves, we will admit that we all like a little bit of recognition every now and then. Doesn't matter how old you are. We like that recognition. If we work hard, we want some kind of recognition. If we've been faithful in our work, we like to see a pay raise, don't we? But what about the topic of fame? People look at this passage of Scripture and they think this is all about fame. Let's think about that. Fame is big in our society. We have many, many halls of fame. We have the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We have the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame with all these familiar names that we know. There, I even found out that there is a Poker Hall of Fame. There's all kinds of Hall of Fames. But where does fame fit into God's direction in our lives? Now, if you look at today's scripture text, and if you have your Bibles, look at Hebrews 11. Some biblical scholars call this Bible's version the Hall of Fame for Faith. In this 11th chapter of Hebrews, people know this chapter as the faith chapter. There are 16 names mentioned of faithful men and women for the work of God. Some of these names are familiar, like Moses and David, Abraham. But then there are those names that are not well known, and some even question why they are even in the list of names, like Barak and Samson. But the names are not in this Bible chapter. They're not in there to win a popularity contest. They're not in there for fame. They are in there for their faithfulness to God. The names are not mentioned for what they did, but what God was able to do through them. It's not about fame, because fame only lasts so long. NFL players get old and they gain weight after they retire. And the only thing they have left is their name and plaque with their picture and memories. And then everyone focuses on the young players who are coming up. Fame never lasts long. As Christians, we should not be about fame. We are people who should be faithful to our Lord, so that we will receive an eternal reward that does not pass away. We as Christians should be seeking the eternal reward that comes through Jesus Christ, which has nothing to do with any of our honors, any work that we do here on earth. But it's only through Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So why does the writer of Hebrews list these names, these 16 names? The reason is that they're listed as being a witness to others. Let's look at the Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. where it says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the cloud of witnesses, meaning the cloud of Christian witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So all these faithful witnesses are part of what we call the great cloud of witnesses. Now, what is a witness? A witness is someone who does according to what she or she hears. It is when you bear testimony to someone you know. And as Christians, we should all know who Jesus is, and he is our witness. He is our testimony. He is our testimony. And all 16 of these cloud of witnesses have one thing in common: a faith in God that was higher than their own battles and circumstances. And believe me, these 16 faithful witnesses had their battles, as you can see. I'm not going to go through the text again, but they all faced so many tremendous challenges, circumstances that they faced. But this is the difference. Their faith in God was more important than their battle. It was better for these saints to go through their battle with God than to have no battle without God. Now think about that. Think about that for your life, for our life. It's better for us to go through a battle with God than to have no battle without God, because that way it shows how important God is in our lives and in our hearts. When it comes to our own personal battles, whatever they may be, sometimes we would like to run away from them rather than face them with God's leading. But as people of God, we cannot run away from our battles. And we are all, as believers, we're in a battle of faith right now. There are temptations all around us. None of us are immune from the temptations that are around us. They're distractions away from God. The Bible calls this battle the race of faith. Let's look at the end of verse 1 of Hebrews 12. The writer says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, this is a common word that we find in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul talks about the race. What does he mean by the race of faith? The race is the life that we live, and it's a contest. That's why they call it a race. It's a contest between good and evil. So the race is the life we live, and it's a contest between good and evil. And some of you this morning might have some battle scars that you have fought in your life, and somehow you came through your battle, through your life. If this describes you, then you are what the Bible calls one of the great cloud of witnesses. Because you ran your life, you're living your life as a witness because of what Jesus has done. Now, you might not see yourself like Moses, but still you have a story of faith to tell others, to encourage. I like to use my parents as examples. When I look at my own parents who have died over 10 years ago, I see them as one of these great cloud of witnesses. Not because they were saints. They weren't saints or anything like that. They were believers in the Lord. But they had their battle scars over the years. And one of the things that I wish I would have done to my parents when they were alive is to ask them, how did you deal with your battle scars? How did you deal with the challenges that you faced? How did you come through your hard times? For example, one of my father's battle scar was his back problems. He had tremendous, tremendous back pain, two back surgeries. And then I think another battle scar for him was the challenge of raising six children. You know, children are a blessing of the Lord, but, you know, also they're also challenged sometimes. I would have asked him, what was it like to raise six children in the home? And your income was the only income, okay? And out of those six, he had four daughters who brought in any kind of boyfriend in the home when they were teenagers. You know, how did you deal with that? And he didn't even have a shotgun to threaten them. He did kick one guy out of the house, though, and told him never to come back. Battle scars. Do you have a battle scar this morning? And did you ever think how you overcame your battle scars? Let's look at verse 2 of Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Whatever battle you're facing, the writer tells us to look to Jesus. He is your example. He is your witness. But most important, he's your Savior. So here is a $64,000 question. Where does Jesus fit into your battle this morning? When the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, what does that mean? It means he is the originator and perfecter of our faith in God. What does that mean in your life? What does that mean that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith? It means this. It means that everything that you have in your life leads to Jesus. Your marriage, your relationships with people, your work, your home, your church. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus in your life as the author and finisher. Now, for some people, their battle is not with their circumstance. It's not about a sickness or financial loss or loss of a spouse or son or daughter. For some people, their battle is a spiritual battle. Now, think about this. In other words, you can be living a pretty good life right now. But if Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life, then you're not walking in his ways. And you're in a spiritual battle with Satan. And that is the worst kind of battle there is. Because your eternity is in question. Here's an example. I remember a year when I was in seminary, I did an intern year. I spent an intern year at a Baptist church in Cleveland. And I was a part of a cohort group of three other seminary students who were all from different seminaries, a very interesting group of students. And we were all placed in this big Baptist church, and our supervisor assigned us to different families in the church. And we were to, you know, make contact and minister with our families on our list, and we were to discuss any questions that arose with our visits. And the other thing we were supposed to do is that we were to encourage our families to come to church, because some of them on the list were inactive. One of our students was assigned to minister to a young couple who were inactive, but they were very well-to-do and very wealthy. And she had a nice visit with this couple. They were very friendly and cordial. But there is one question that this family, this couple, raised with the seminary student. When she would encourage them to come to church, the couple said to her, "Well, we're doing pretty good right now. We have a good marriage. We have a love for each other. We're not in any financial crisis. We're happy. We really don't have any needs right now. And we really don't need the church right now." That's what she said. And so the seminary student, as she got to know this couple, she believed that they were unbelievers in the Lord. And what more could she have done? What could she have done? There were there's no crisis, no family crisis, no health crisis, no financial crisis. They were happy, but they were spiritually lost. That's the kind of battle I'm talking about. The couple was in a spiritual battle with the Lord. They were successful in the world, but what's going to happen on the day when they face the Lord after they die? What about Judgment Day? Judgment Day happens to all of us. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Jesus explains what this is all about. Matthew 7, verse 23. Actually, go back to 21. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" When Jesus said those words, what was he talking about? He's talking about a relationship with Jesus. He's talking about a relationship with him. He's not talking about any accomplishments and any trials. He's talking about, how well do you know me, Jesus? Our faith is all about knowing Jesus personally. This is why the Bible calls Jesus the author and finisher of our faith. It also means this: Jesus has the final word for our lives and our eternity, no matter who you are. Makes you think, doesn't it? It makes you think, what will Jesus' final word be for me, for you, if he were to come today? Or if you were to die today, what do you think Jesus' final words would be before you enter heaven? If we don't have the one who finishes our faith in our lives, then we have no one to give us eternal life with God in heaven. Because Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 6, very familiar words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So our main focus, our main direction needs to be about Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what kind of battle you're in. If anything in your life is keeping you away from Jesus, that is your battle. And so the writer tells us, in order to run the race, in order to live for Jesus and look to Jesus, we must lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, traps us. These are burdens. These are burdens that we carry with us. These are burdens in our hindrances and our faith. What's the only thing we can do to our burdens? We need to lay them down. Lay them down at the cross. Don't complain about the burdens. Don't compare your burdens to other people's burdens. Lay them down. Lay them down at the cross. These are the only things we can do with our burdens. What does Jesus say? He says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And simply, Jesus simply tells us to come to him. Whatever your burden is, whatever your battle is, lay it down at the cross. We don't have to fight our battles alone. Give it to the one who is the author and finisher of your faith and my faith. Or maybe you're here today and you're one of those great cloud of witnesses that the Bible talks about. You might have a story to tell others about how you came through a certain challenge that you faced. If you're a great cloud of witness, if you're one of those people, you got to know that people are watching your example. They're watching how you live your life. They're watching how you interact with people. and are thinking, do they have Christ in their lives? If they have Christ in their lives, then why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? It's all part of the great race of faith. So I challenge all of you to not run away from the great race of faith, but to run this great, great race of faith with Jesus. Never back away from any battle. And look to Jesus as your example and Savior. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have sent someone who is the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord, that we have someone who paid the ultimate battle, paid the ultimate price for our sins, that we might not be alone, but we have a Savior by our side. And God, I pray this morning that if anyone, Lord, has a burden, if anyone has a battle, Lord, that they would just give that to you and to believe and renounce any hindrances and to be determined to look to you, Jesus, as their only way to overcome. We pray that you continue to lead us in this time of worship and guide us in our closing song as we sing a song that gives praise and glory to you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 320, a wonderful hymn of faith, How Firm a Foundation. Our foundation is in Jesus Christ alone. So let us stand as we sing our closing hymn. As we leave here today, hear these words from the Apostle Paul from 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 8. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen.